Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our God. You're the one true God that we can worship. As we come here and worship you this morning, we lift up just a part of the blessings that you give us. And I pray that this offering can go and bless those in the short-term missions as they are your hands and feet going out to share your word, to be a light to the people in this world, and to show who you truly are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Father, we just thank you for your word and that you've even made it available to us. And I just pray this morning that it would become more precious, that you would guide Larry's words and that we would hear and receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the powerful and the precious name of Jesus Christ. And again, welcome to each one of you. And again, a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us here this morning. Well, there's a big hole up front here because the youth are away on a retreat this weekend. So before I get into the message, I'd just like to have a word of prayer for them. Especially as they travel home this afternoon and the possibility of maybe some more snow coming this afternoon, that they would have safety as they return. Also, give you an update, Richard Good has come home from the hospital. And Violet Good, I didn't get an update on her. I think she might still be in the hospital this morning. And also, Earl and Margie, Earl Martin, Margie's Earl, is in the hospital as well. He had appendicitis, so he had surgery, I think, on Friday. So I think he's recovering from that, but he's still in the hospital. So let's just pause and lift all those persons up and also the youth group as they return home today. Father, we just come before you today thanking you that you are a God who does indeed care about us. And you are very concerned about the details of our lives. So we pray for the youth group as they're away in a retreat this weekend, and as they're probably gathering right now for worship. I pray, Father God, you would be in their midst, that they would be able to worship you, that you would speak to them, that this weekend will be a time of transformation in each one of their lives. And I pray, Father God, you would give them safety as they return this afternoon from that retreat. We lift up Richard Good, Violet Good, Earl Martin to your throne of grace today as they're all recovering or dealing with health issues. So I ask for your healing touch upon their bodies, and just would you guide and direct the doctors, give them wisdom, and may you be honored and glorified through that. And I just pray now that you would just be with us today. Help us to hear what you would have for us to hear today. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I just want to, before I get into the message, just want to say a little bit about our service last Sunday. Last Sunday was a unique service, a special service. It was a service where some of you were commissioned in your occupations to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You were given a little certificate that reminds you that who you are. When you walk out the door every morning, when you go to your job, or whatever you do during the day, that you're reminded that every day you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, no matter where you are or where you go. So the idea of that is for every one of us to be commissioned at some time throughout this coming year, as a reminder that we are all called by God to be ambassadors wherever we are, at home, at work, everywhere. So, you should have received one of these papers in your mailbox a number of weeks ago, and you were asked to fill out what your occupation would be, and yes, there is a place on there for a retiree. So if you're retired, please fill that out. Give it back to Justin Zimmerman so that we can have a commissioning for you and have a prayer of commissioning for you sometime in the very near future. So today is the first Sunday that we're using our new Sunday school curriculum, the answers-based Sunday school curriculum. We've been talking about this for weeks, for months, and the idea for changing this curriculum is so that all the Sunday school classes from the children through the youth up through the adult classes were all studying the same Sunday school lesson. And the idea is that then as parents with children, you have the opportunity then to engage in conversations about the Sunday school lesson. It's a tool for us to use to teach our children the ways of God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9 says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Verse 7 says to impress them on your children. Talk to them, your children, when you sit at home, when you're sitting around the dinner table, and when you walk along the road, when you're living life, when you're running from here and there to all these other activities where you're transporting your children. As you're doing that, talk about the Sunday school lesson we all had on Sunday. When you lie down, when you go to bed, when you get up, when you start your day, talk about the ways of God. Talk to your children throughout the day as you have opportunity. So this curriculum, like I said, is a tool for parents, grandparents, to help us accomplish our God-given responsibility of teaching and instructing our children and our grandchildren, our nieces and our nephews about God. I know I shared this with you before, but one of the statistics that we talked about is perhaps the startling statistic that 2/3 of young adults that grow up in the church, involved in youth group, going to church activities, are choosing to discontinue attending church because they have not had their questions about faith or what faith in God means and what an authentic, real faith in God looks like. And now these questions began way back in their early days in Sunday school and continued on through middle school and on through high school. We, the church across America, have failed our young people and our very own children. And here's another perhaps startling statistic. Of those young people who have decided to discontinue attending church and possibly abandon faith in God completely, only 11% say that their parents modeled for them a vibrant, intimate, active faith in Almighty God for them to observe. They didn't see their parents show them, model for them, the way to an active, vibrant, intimate, life-changing, life-transforming faith in Almighty God. I believe that one of the basic tenets of being a Christ follower is to believe that God's word is our foundation. This is the title of our very first Sunday school lesson today with this new curriculum. We must believe that the Bible is true and trustworthy, and it provides a great starting point for understanding the world in which we live. Our world view must be shaped through the lens of Scripture. So if we believe that that's true, that our world view must be shaped through the lens of Scripture, it leads me to the title of this message today, Feeding on God's Word. One of the key ingredients in the diet of a professing, born-again believer is the regular feeding on, reading, interacting with the Word of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 4, verse 4. And the context here is that Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Jesus had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, so obviously he was hungry. So Satan comes to Jesus and he says, and I'm paraphrasing, "Yo, if you are who you say you are, if you really are the Son of God, hey, why don't you tell these stones here to turn into bread?" And then we have Jesus' response. It is written, and it's written in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Go ahead and look it up. It is written, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So I'd just like to say a few things about temptation. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and we'll talk more about this next Sunday. But a couple of things about temptation. First of all, being tempted is not a sin. Sin occurs when we yield to temptation, when we give in, and when we are disobedient to God. And secondly, notice where Jesus was tempted. He wasn't tempted inside the temple or at his baptism, but in the desert where he was tired, all alone, and hungry. We are most often tempted when we are in a very vulnerable frame of mind, when we're under physical or emotional stress. Like I said, when we're tired, when we're facing uncertainty, maybe we're confused, maybe feeling lonely, or maybe when we're weighing a heavy or a big decision in life. But Satan also likes to tempt us through our strengths. You see, it is in our strengths where we are most susceptible to pride. When we are tempted to think we got everything under control on our own strength, and we begin to push God to the margins. We must keep our guard up at all times against the schemes of our enemy, Satan. A great way to do that is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, where Paul talks about the armor of God. We have armor provided by Almighty God for us to use in our daily lives as we follow Jesus Christ. For our purposes here this morning, I'd like to remind you what Paul says in Ephesians 6, 17b. the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is part of the armor that we must use. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. When we interact with the Word of God, when we believe and trust what God says, we receive life, a supernatural life, a life-transforming life. And it helps us to be overcomers. Because I believe that something supernatural happens when we interact with God's Word. If Hebrews 4 verse 12 is true, and I absolutely believe that it is, then something supernatural happens when we read, interact with the Word of God. When we meditate on it, when we memorize it. This is what Hebrews 4 verse 12 says. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I believe that when we feed on God's Word, even if we do it in a casual, unassuming way, something happens to us. Oh, we may not feel like anything is happening, but something is happening in the spirit realm. The Word of God is dynamic. The Word of God is life-changing. The Word of God is life-transforming. With the precision of a surgeon's scalpel, God's Word reveals who we are, and it also reveals who we are not. It penetrates to the core of our moral and spiritual lives. It reveals what is in our heart, both good and evil. When we interact with God's Word, when we feed on God's Word, the Holy Spirit speaks or ministers to us in ways that I believe require a decision to be made on our part. Are we going to allow the Word of God to shape our lives? Or better yet, are we going to ask God to help us to respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings in ways that will be life-changing, life-transforming? Because, you see, I believe that we always have a choice. We always have a choice in how we choose to respond. I also believe this. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen closely. When we consistently feed on God's Word, it can and will keep us from sinning. If We choose to harbor or hang on to unconfessed and unrepented of sin. It can and will keep us from feeding on God's word. In Psalm 119, the psalmist is focusing on how wonderful and true God's word is. Psalm 119 is both the longest psalm and also the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 22 very carefully constructed sections, with each section corresponding to a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But what I want you to see this morning is that almost every one of the 176 verses of Psalm 119 mentions God's word. Check it out for yourself. Words like law, statutes, precepts, decrees, commands, etc., are used in reference to God's word. So I'd like to read Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. In this world in which we live, we are bombarded by a sea of impurity. Everywhere we look, we find temptation to live impure lives. And the psalmist asks a burning question. How do I stay pure in a filthy environment? You and I cannot do it on our own. We must have guidance and counsel that is more dynamic than the tempting influences around us. Where can we find counsel? Where can we find wisdom? Where can we find strength that we need? Verse 9b says, by living according to God's word, by applying it to our lives. Verse 11, like I mentioned before, I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? So I might not sin against you, God. Memorizing scripture is hiding God's word in your heart. And for some of these young people that are involved in quizzing, I think that is a fantastic way to hide God's word in your heart. Verse 12 says, teach me your decrees. Now, you can't be taught unless you want to learn. So the question is, do you want to learn more about God, more about who He is? Do you want to learn? Verse 13 says, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Speaking about the things you learn from Scripture is a powerful way to cement them in your mind and apply them to your life. Verse 14 says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Now, at first glance, it may seem strange to hear the psalmist talking about rejoicing in following God's statutes as much as one rejoices in great riches. But we must understand God's laws are given to us to free us to be all that God wants and who God created us to be. Most of us are inclined to resist rules because our mentality may be that they restrict us from doing what we want to do. Just like a young child is inclined to do exactly the opposite of what they are told to do, so it may be with the laws of God. The unchangeable laws of God guide us from doing what might hinder or cripple us and keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Verse 15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. To meditate, to meditate conveys the idea of solitude or seclusion with the purpose of reflecting, pondering, or thinking about the Word of God. Too many times I find myself doing my quiet time, reading the Bible, spend time praying, only to find myself later on that same day struggling to even remember what I read in the morning, let alone applying it to my life. I'm sure you're not that way, but that's the way it is for me. I believe that when we meditate on God's Word, when we are intentional about thinking about pondering what is God trying to communicate to me through what I've just read, and that can happen throughout the day as I'm going about my different activities. When I do that, I believe it helps to rivet divine truth into my memory. It also helps me to make connections to my daily life as I'm striving to follow Jesus Christ. When we meditate on God's Word and consider His ways, I believe the Holy Spirit will help us to make connections and applications in our daily lives, which in turn brings a delight to our hearts. Verse 16b says this, I will not neglect your word. Now, the story is told of a Sunday school teacher who was sharing with her class about Jesus visiting Mary and Martha and about how they probably spent some time preparing for Jesus' visit. And then she paused and she asked the question, so what would you do if Jesus was coming to visit you at your house today? And this little girl very quickly responded and said, I'd put the Bible on the table. I believe that we all know that reading, feeding on the Word of God is very vital for our spiritual growth. Can we, along with the psalmist, say, I will not neglect your word? Can we say that together? I will not neglect your word. I'd like to offer you some resources to help you in your daily walk with God. The daily bread is available in all the entrance ways in this church. I encourage you, if you don't already, pick one up. I noticed there, I think there's a note in the bulletin about if you would like large print daily breads, we may look into getting that if you would like to use large print. But also encourage you, hey, take one along for your neighbor. Take one along for your coworker to share with them. Also, for parents of young children here this morning, if you have a child between the ages of 4 and 18, you should find in your mailbox today a family devotional booklet. It's intended to help to equip you for the task of teaching and training your children in the ways of God. So I'd like to conclude this message today, reminding you again of what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, and I'm going to change that to hear, O Bowmansville Mennonite Church. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the roads, and bind them on your foreheads. Let me back up. I missed a line. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Allow me to leave you with this. You as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone who has the opportunity to interact with children in your family circles or anywhere, allow me to leave you with this sobering story. It's a story from the life of the author of a book I'm reading right now entitled Shift. The author's mother, who was 59 years old, was diagnosed with a very aggressive brain cancer that had her hospitalized, unconscious, and dying only days after that she was originally diagnosed. Shocked, the author of this book And his brother flew to her in her final hours. Miraculously, the doctors were able to remove some of the pressure from her brain that she was able to communicate for just a few hours before she died. This author and his brother poured out their love for their mother. And through their tears, they told her how much her biblical and spiritual training had molded their lives and how much they appreciated her. And when they were all finished talking, their mother quietly and gently presented them with a question. What was the last scripture that you taught to your children? At the end of her life, she wanted to know that if what she had taught her sons was making a real difference in the lives of her sons and also her grandchildren. So I suspect that as you sit here this morning, that would be the same desire that you would have when it comes to the end of your life. Did I pass along my faith in Almighty God to my children? Each generation is responsible for the one that comes after. We need to teach our children and our grandchildren about the ways of God. May God help us in our God-given responsibility. And again, I go back to Psalm 119, 16b, I will not neglect your word. May that be the desire of your heart here this morning. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have access to it. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would help each one of us here this morning to take seriously our responsibility not only to nurture our own faith and trust in you, but also to teach our children and our grandchildren about you, about your ways, about who you are, and about the life-changing, life-transforming ways that you work in our lives. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would be honored and glorified and lifted up and exalted, because your word tells us that when we lift Jesus high, people will respond to that. So I ask that you would motivate each one of us to continue, if we are already, and if we're not, to be motivated to dig into your word, to read it, to meditate upon it, and to ask you to change our lives through it. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. for your kind attention this morning, and may God bless you as we go forth from today. I was handed a note. Quizzing at Weaverland today has been moved up to 1:30, I believe because of the snow. There will be no opening worship. So if you're involved in quizzing or if you were planning to go to quizzing today, if you go tonight, I think you'll be a little disappointed in what you find. Anyway, would you stand to receive this benediction from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of God, or let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May God bless you. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week.